Praise God. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got your Bibles this morning. We want to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 2. While you're turning there, I'll say how good it is to see each and every one of you here this morning. Praise God. Amen. I was reading not too long ago, and words of a preacher, and he made note, and he said, how is it that preachers always have something to preach but never anything to preach? And if you're not a preacher, you don't understand that. And it's because I can be inundated with thoughts, and I can have all kinds of good thoughts, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to preach that, and I never get to preach it. As trying to seek the Lord for specific service and such, and amen, we do want to be sensitive to that. Praise God. I believe that there is the message for us to hear. Praise God. And I believe that this is the will of God for us here today. Joshua chapter number 2, begin reading at verse number 1. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Let's skip down to verse number 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and I know that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts didn't melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Amen. And that's what I want to preach about here this morning. Give me a true token. Amen. I want to preach about a true token today. Praise God. A true token. Would you ask the Lord to help us here this morning? Praise God. We love you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated here this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I saved your legs a little bit because I had a whole lot more to read, but I elected not to read it all this morning. You'd have been able to put, you know, a couple of check marks beside your Bible reading for today. Amen. Praise God. We know the story and how that spies are sent into the land to a spy out the land, two spies. And I think that that's kind of unique. Before that, there were 12 spies sent into the promised land and only two came back with a good report. And so maybe Joshua, being one of those two spies, thought to himself, there's no sense in sending more than two. I don't know. But nevertheless, there are two spies that went into the land, went unto Rahab's house. Rahab began to commune with them and talk to them. And she told them some things that she knew and such. And so I want to talk to us about that here this morning. There was some knowledge that she had. Just says there is some knowledge that you and I have. And there is an instinctive knowledge that we all have. And that instinctive knowledge is the will and the desire to survive. It's only a truly depressed person, a person with no initiative, a person with no hope, no dream, no anything like that, that would wake up and say, well, maybe I'll get killed today, and I sure hope so. But we all have this instinctive will to live. No matter what the situation is, we hear of true heroic stories of people that lived through harsh and cruel times, and even in emergencies and disasters such, there is the will of an individual to live, to thrive, and even to be saved. It is the innate soul's desire to be saved. I believe that that's why all of us are here this morning, is because none of us want to be lost. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants to do it. As a matter of fact, we could probably go within a 10-mile radius of this church and we would find very, very little people that would even acknowledge and say, no, I just desire to go to hell. And you say, well, is that even a thought? And obviously it is. I remember even growing up and being in junior high and just junior high. And so that was somewhere back in the 1900s. I remember an individual that made a statement publicly, and he said, I can't wait till I get to hell. And it shocked me, and I don't believe that it shocked me only, but it shocked so many others that were there at that time. And that's just because there is such a desire within the human body, and that's the way that God created us, that soul that is there, and that is to be saved. And so these are some things that Rahab knew. She knew what was coming. She knew what was to happen, and she had a desire to live. She wanted to live. She didn't want to die with all of the rest of them, and so she began to express her knowledge unto these spies. And she said, there's some things that we know, for we have heard. And I think that it is important to understand that the world is listening. And even when the world isn't listening, they're still going to hear. And they ought to hear about some things that are going on in the church. I was rereading some of the things that Brother Ward had preached this past week. And last Sunday sometime, I want to say it was Sunday night, but not Sunday night. I guess it would have been two weeks ago, Sunday night. And he was talking about the activation of your deliverance and talking about being in prison and such. And the Bible said that they were stuck to the inner parts. And even in the inner parts, the prisoners heard Paul and Silas as they began to lift their voice and began to sing. And so those that are bound captive by this world, that are bound captive by addictions, bound captive by all kinds of things, they still possess the capacity to hear. Blind Bartimaeus, the Bible speaks that when he heard the commotion that was going on, he asked, what is going on? And they said, well, Jesus has come. He may have been blind to some things, but he was still able to hear the important things. Amen. The Bible speaks that the gods of this world hath blinded our eyes to this glorious gospel, but we still have ears to hear. I believe that that is why that Jesus, when he was speaking to John the Revelator in Revelations 2 and 3, he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say. Praise God. Amen. This world has got ears and they are listening. They may not be attentive to you, but yet they hear the voice of the church and the ways of God. And this is what Rahab said. She said, we have heard some things. We heard how the Lord dried up the waters at the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt and such. And then she said, and we also heard, it didn't stop there, just one thing wasn't it, but there was a couple of things here. And she said, we heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, and how that they were utterly destroyed. They had wreaked havoc throughout all of the rest of the land, and they were kings to be feared. But you came in, and you were able to utterly destroy them. And she said, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt within us, and there remained no more courage in any man because of you. And then she gave this reality. She said, for the Lord your God, amen, the Lord your God, he is king, and he is God in heaven alone and in earth beneath. Praise God. She said, he is the true God. She was knowledgeable. She was conditioned unto all of these other gods. She knew what it was like to call upon different gods. She knew what it was like, amen, to have to figure out which God that she was going to pray unto. But this day she was able to declare that it was the God of the Israelites, declaring him to be the God of heaven and of earth beneath, and how that he was the true God and that he was going to do this. And so she said, I've got a petition to ask of you. There is something that I want to ask of you, and that is, I want you to swear unto me by your God, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and that you would give me a true token. Praise God. I don't have time to go back through the entire Bible, and I know you're saying, thank the Lord. And I don't have time to go back through the Bible and talk to you about the principle of the tokens, and how that when God made a promise, that he gave a sign of that promise every time. When he said, I'll never flood the earth again by water. I'll never destroy the earth again by water. And the token of the covenant was the rainbow. There was a token of the covenant concerning God's people and such. And then on and on. And then finally in the book of Acts, he said, go ye and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from upon high. But he said, wait for the promise of the Father. And with the promise, he gave the sign or the token of the covenant. And with that token, he gave the speaking in tongues as the Spirit would give the utterance. And that's how that they knew that they had received the promise of the Father. There was the token that was there. You can go into the book of Acts, chapter number 8, and you can see how that they had been obedient, and how that they had repented. They had been baptized in Jesus' name. They had experienced great joy. They had experienced miracles. They had wonderful feeling, but yet they did not have the Holy Ghost. And so Philip called for the disciples to come, and Peter came. They laid hands upon them, and the Bible said that when they laid hands upon them, then they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And how do you know that they got the Holy Ghost? Because they had great joy? No, they had joy before then. Because they received a miracle? No, because they received a miracle before them. Because they repented? No, they had already repented. Because that they were baptized in Jesus' name? No, they had already had that. Amen. It was a separate and distinct experience, and it was the promise of the Father by the token that was established in the book of Acts. And so here Rahab said, I want a token. We would read later on of how that Jonathan would ask for a token. He would say, let us ask. He was talking to his servant. He said, let us petition God, and we're going to go up, and we're going to tell these Philistines, we're going to show ourselves to the Philistines, and if they say come unto us, then we're going to say this is a token of God to do this, and if they say this, then we're going to know that this is a token to remove ourselves. And so there was the token that was given. Amen. And so this is what Rahab has done. She says, I want a true token. Praise God. I am so thankful that God doesn't just leave salvation hanging just by a feeling. Because there are days that you're going to feel absolutely wonderful, and there are days that you're going to feel like, hey man, did I wake up in hell today? Come on, you know I'm talking to you about the truth. There are days that you wish that you could just go back to bed, cover up your head, and say, let's start this all over, try this all again, because nothing is going right. I just come to tell you today that when you feel like, hey man, that you're having the worst day, thank God that you got a token a long time ago at an altar when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when you feel absolutely, amen, energetic, and euphoric. Amen. You still have a token that God said, it was on this day that I filled you with the Holy Ghost. And thank God that that token wasn't a once and done deal. But every day you can experience the Spirit of God. Amen. And be reminded by the token that God has redeemed you from the world of sin. Let's love Him today. Praise God. I'm not talking about, amen, speaking in tongues as you have learned to, or speaking in tongues, amen, as you just make it up and stuff, but as the Spirit gives the utterance. And it is important that we press and push, amen, in the Spirit to pray to be able to obtain that and to get that, to receive that. Amen? Praise God. And so there was a token that was given unto Rahab, this harlot. I don't think that it is good for us to forget that she was a harlot. She was more than just a nobody. She was looked down upon. She was despised. Can you imagine all the wives that were walking around, amen, there, and their husband walking beside them when Rahab the harlot would walk beside, Rahab the harlot would come walking by. She was a harlot. Everybody knew she was a harlot. It was at that point in time that wives threaded their husband's arms and walked close, stared daggers at the harlot and say, "He's mine." And this was whom the Lord had opened up the door for these men to come to. And so she knows the truth. And she says, "I want a true token that you're going to save my father's house and I." And so she said, I want to be saved, and I want you to promise me, and I want a token of this promise that I want some said, some translation said, I want a sure sign. Others said, I want a guarantee. I want you to guarantee. Amen. I want you to put it on paper. I want your signature on it. I want a contract on this. I want a guarantee. I want a token. I want something that I can go back to and say, right here, you said it. You said it. Yeah, we can go back to the covenant that God has given unto us, and we can say, right here, God, you said it. Don't let God have to come back to you and say, right here, I said it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There are times that He comes back to remind us of His word, saying that I'll be faithful to you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. But you can go to God and you can say right here, God, you said that you would never leave me nor forsake me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. And so she said, I want this. And so we get into this true token. And I would just simply say today that, do you want to be saved? That was Rahab's desire. I want to be saved. And so the spies looked at her and said, all right, if you really want to be saved, then there are some things that you're going to have to do. Now, the denominational world says, uh-uh, because we're not saved by works. Let me just remind you that the only reason that Noah was saved was because of the works that he did with the grace that was provided unto him. He was saved because he built an ark. He possessed the capacity to be saved because grace gave him what he really did not deserve. And today in our text, grace is going to give Rahab what she really did not deserve. But the spies said, if you really want to be saved, then there's some things that you're going to have to do. They're not optional. This isn't a long list of things there. Brother Boney and I went to a doctor the other day. And there was a long list and said, you know, what would you like? How, you know, and stuff. And so we began to feel these things out. This isn't that when we come to Scripture. This isn't a buffet that you get to pick and choose and say, well, you know what? I don't like green beans. And so, no, I don't want that. And, you know, and asparagus and all those other fine green foods and stuff. That's just me. I don't like green foods. And so if I go to a buffet, I pass them all up. You know why? Because it's a buffet. I don't have to take it. And even when I go to a restaurant, I have the ability to tell them, can I substitute something for the green beans? No, absolutely. You don't have that ability to do so when it comes to the Word of God. Amen. And so the spies looked at Rahab and they said, we're going to see just how bad you really want to be saved. And so they said, look, if you really want to be saved, then there are some things that you're going to have to do. Number one, don't utter a word about our business. Somebody's going to come asking you what we were doing here and stuff. Don't you utter a word about our business. Number two, you're going to put this scarlet line that you have let us down off of this wall into. You're going to put this down. You're going to put this in your window. That's number two. And number three, you're going to keep that scarlet robe or that scarlet thread in your window even until the very day that we come and we attack and destroy, besiege this city. You're going to keep it in there. You're not going to take it out. And with that, the only way that you're going to be saved is you have to stay in the house. If you go out of the house, we're not responsible for your life. You go, if your dad goes out of the house, amen, instead of staying in this house and we come in and we destroy him, we're not responsible for that. The only thing that our word is going to hold us responsible for is those that are in the house. Don't utter a word about our business. Bind this scarlet thread, this rope in the window here and stay in the house. Now, Rahab could have said, are you just picking things out of the fine air to tell me what I must do? She could have sat there and debated it all. She could have sat there and said, you know, if I put this scarlet rope in my window, everybody's going to know something's different about me, and they're going to come questioning why I'm doing all of this, and I think that it would be better if I just blended in with the rest of them. And if my house just blended in with the rest of the house, then nobody would know that there's something different. And how about we do that, and I'll just make sure that everybody is in the house. That wasn't the stipulation. The way that it was set up is if you really want to be saved, there's three things that you're going to do. Number one, you're not going to utter a word about this. Number two, you're going to put the scarlet rope in this window. Number three, you're going to stay within the house. Can I just tell you today that grace speaks to us? Grace talks. Grace isn't this feeling or this emotion that comes over us that we just kind of use as a snuggly blanket, a security blanket, and just bundle up and say, oh, I just feel so good under the grace of God. That's not what the Bible teaches us. Let's forget about everything that the world has made grace. Let's forget about what this world that doesn't even know Jesus, doesn't even know the Scripture. Let's forget about what we understand about grace. And let's let the Bible teach us what grace really is. Because grace talks to us. Amen. You can say, you know what, I'd like to know the difference between grace and mercy. Well, here it is. Mercy is simply this. You don't get what you do deserve. That's what mercy is. Yeah, you weren't worthy of life. You weren't worthy of redemption. You weren't worthy of justification. You weren't worthy. But mercy stepped into your life, amen, and presented itself unto you. You were worthy of death. The wages of sin is death. You were worthy of all kinds of judgment put against you and all these things. But mercy stepped in and said, no. Mercy stepped in and said, I know you deserve death, but I'm going to step in and I'm going to take the place of it and you get to go free. Mercy is you don't get what you do deserve. Grace is simply this. You get what you don't deserve. It's the not necessarily the exact opposites, but it's a play on words. Mercy, I don't get what I do deserve. Grace, I do get what I don't deserve. I don't deserve life everlasting. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve joy unspeakable. I don't deserve the hand of God. I don't deserve the faithfulness of God. I don't deserve the mercies of God. But grace stepped in and said, I know you don't deserve this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. No, I know that you're living in a heathenistic land and I'm ready to wipe every one of them off of the face of the earth. And I am God and I can do what I want to and I can start completely over. But I'm going to step in here and I'm going to give you grace. And I'm going to give you the ability. I'm going to give you, the way to be able to live. Grace steps in and offers it unto you. You got to do something with the grace of God. I said, you've got to do something with the grace of God. Man, you can't just use grace and hang it up as a cloak in your closet and say, oh, I'm covered in grace. Amen. Paul wrote it and he said it like this. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not what we're going to do. We can't do that. Why? Because grace doesn't allow that to happen. Grace is not a credit card that you get to go by the ATM or go by the, amen, that checkout line and just, amen, put your card over it and blink and all of a sudden it's all paid for. That's not grace. That's not what grace is. That's what a lot of people think grace is. A lot of people think that they get to continue doing whatever they've been doing and that grace covers all of that. Grace doesn't cover that. You know why? Because grace speaks. And grace says, Noah, you're going to build an ark, and you're going to build it this high. You're going to build it this wide. You're going to put one door in it. You're going to put one window in it. That's what grace does. Grace tells you how to be saved. It's not necessarily God's responsibility to save you after that. It's your responsibility to act upon what God has put in you or what God has told you so that you can be saved. God said, I'm not going to be responsible for all of this. Amen. I've told you what you need to do to be saved. And if you don't want to do it, I'm not responsible for it on the judgment day. But if you do it, if you will do what grace teaches you to do, if you will do what grace tells you to do, when you come to that day, amen, there's going to be a Lord that's going to stand up and say, well done. Done what? Doing the works that I have commanded you to do. Well done. Well done. Amen. That word done signifies you did something. You didn't just sit around. You didn't sit there, twiddle your thumbs. You didn't continue in sin. You did something. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. Praise God. That's what I'm looking for. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11, gives us insight about what grace is and how important that grace is. He said, for the grace of God, that's what we're looking for. I'm not looking for daddy's grace. I'm not looking for mama's grace. I'm not looking for my grandparents' grace. I'm looking for the grace of God. Why? Because I want to be saved. I don't want to die lost. Grandma can't save me. Grandpa can't save me. Mom and dad can't save me. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. Amen. Come on. Come on. That's Acts 2 and 40. Amen. When he said, with many other words did he testify. What other words was there? Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said, we'll come back to this here in a minute. Amen. Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the promise. Amen. He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what the promise was. The promise of the Father was there from Luke chapter number 24, Acts chapter number 1. Amen. He said, you shall receive the promise. And with many other words, in other words, don't just delete out Acts 2:38. Amen. Oh, glory to God. You know what we live in a world in this day and age? My oldest son took was in Abeka during school. We homeschooled him, and he went through the Abeka Academy. And so, in that Abeka Academy, he had to take a Bible. And in one of his Bible lessons, one of his Bible semesters and courses and stuff, he was taking the Book of Acts. And so, we sat there and we listened. Acts chapter number 1, Acts chapter number 2, Day of Pentecost is fully come. And so we're getting into all of this and stuff. And then we get to Acts 2 and 21 and stuff. And oh man, these good old Baptists, they're just pumping that and stuff. Acts 2 and 37, then being pricked in their hearts, they said unto the men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? They skipped Acts 2:38. I mean, slick as that. I mean, it went by slicker than a raw oyster going down your throat. It was gone. I thought, whoa, 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 wait a second. He did not just do that. I mean, just nothing, just boop. It's like a speed bump, boom, right over Acts 2:38. And I mean, men and brethren, what must we do? The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Save yourself. You know what you're doing? You're taking an eraser and you're erasing the words. You're erasing the words. Number one, you're erasing the grace that was given. Because that's what they said. We need that, men and brethren. They said, we need some grace here. Peter said, if you really want to be saved, then you're going to do what I tell you to do. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. What promise? The promise of the Father, Acts chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 24. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words. In other words, we're going to include Acts 2:38. This isn't skip Acts 2:38 and do my own thing. No, 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 no. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself. Peter said, I can't save you. Peter said, Bartholomew, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and all these, they can't save you. You're going to have to do this yourself. You are going to have to repent. You're going to have to be baptized in Jesus. Nobody can be baptized for you. You got to do these things. He said, save yourself from this untoward generation. What was happening? Grace was speaking. I told you I was going to get back to Titus 2 and 11. So this is here. Here we are. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Praise God. That ought to excite me. That ought to excite you right there. That's what I want. I want salvation. Yeah, I'm not looking for, amen, Reader's Digest sweepstake. I mean, that would be nice, but that ain't going to save me. I'm not looking for the lotto ticket Powerball winner to share his earnings with me and stuff. That'd be nice, but that ain't going to save me. The grace of God that bringeth salvation, that's going to save me. I need grace to be saved. Bringeth salvation. And thank God it hath appeared unto all men. Thank God. One day grace came knocking on your door. You didn't deserve it, but it came anyway. Amen. One day grace came unto you when you was on the bottom and it scooped you up. One day when you was in the bar ditch of life, amen, grace came unto you. You didn't deserve it, but grace came anyway. One day when you were drunk as a skunk, grace, amen, visited you. You were high out of your mind, but grace came and visited you. You were lost, amen, as a goose in a hailstorm, but grace came. Amen. Visited you. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I was living life as a teenager, and I didn't have much grace appearing unto me. I had police. I had the police knocking on the door. Ma'am, I want to talk to your son. What has he done? Well, he did this and this. He couldn't have. He was here at the house. Whew. I was able to slip in. But, oh, I'm so thankful that grace came knocking on my door. Not just my parents' door. Not just some other. I'm about fourth generation apostolic. No. Third. I'm third generation apostolic. I got my mom, and then there was a grandmother beyond my mom, my mom's grandmother. And so it skipped a generation right in there, possibly. My grandmother, I'm not going to judge that. I do know that she was baptized in Jesus' name. And at the end of life, what happened between her and the Lord is between her and the Lord. And so I'm somewhere around third, fourth generation Pentecost. But I'm so thankful that grace didn't stop at that door and just say, there it is, I'm not going any further. But grace came to me. Grace came to me. You know how grace came to me? I'll tell you how grace came to me. There was a preacher that was standing up January the 28th of the year 1990, and he began to preach, and he brought me under conviction. And there were some things that I thought to myself, my God, I don't want to be lost. There was an opportunity given to come to an altar, and I came to the altar, and grace said, if you really want to be saved, then there's some things that you're going to have to do. And I saved myself. I'm not riding mom's coattail to heaven. If I ride mom's coattail to heaven, I'm going to come up short. And that wasn't because she's wearing a short skirt. That's because I didn't do what grace told me to do. I got to do what grace tells me to do. For the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. And then it goes on. And it says grace has got some talking to do. And so Titus 2 and 12 said, teaching us. Now there's times that the teacher is silent, but that's typically when it's a test. But that's not grace. Grace teaches us. Grace isn't so insensitive to us that it just sits there and just says, no, grace wants you to be saved. God's grace, that's what it says, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. God wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. Because God knows how bad and awful hell is. But there are some people that are kicking, punching, fighting, trying to keep grace away. I don't want that. I ain't going to. And they got this mentality. This is what they think. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Ain't no preacher going to tell me how I'm going to live. I'm sorry, but you got the wrong revelation. That's not just anybody trying to tell you what to do. And that's not just a preacher telling you how to live. That's God. That's God. The book of Jeremiah. I don't have book, chapter, and verse right now. I want to say it's chapter 2. It may be chapter 3, 13, something like that. God speaks, and he said, look, he said, I really want to save you. And he said, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you pastors according to my own heart. That shall help you with wisdom and understanding. Oh, Jesus, help me. I want to be comical, and I want to be serious all at the same time. You're looking for an angel to come down and speak to you. You're in the wrong denomination. That's Mormon. That's Moroni coming down. All right? Sorry. B being a little funny. Or you're looking for an angel to come down and to tell you what you need to do. Here I am. I am your angel. I'm always up in the air harping about something. But you know what? That's the way the Bible describes it in Revelations 2 and 3. Now unto the angel of the church of... The angel was the pastors of those churches. And so the Lord speaks and he said, I'm going to send you pastors after my own heart that are going to teach you, lead you in wisdom and instruction. In other words, they're going to tell you what you need to do. Well, I'm listening for the voice of God. This is about as close as you're going to get. Pray for me. That's how we learn. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. If you had heart problems, you're not going to go to Brahms and talk to the ice cream man. Ice cream will make you feel good, but it ain't going to fix your heart problem. He may have a PhD if you go to Cold Stones or something like that. Better yet, go to Andy's. That's almost heaven on this side of earth. Key lime pie. You wonder how I got this way, huh? Andy's has been good to me. Andy's walks with me. Andy's talks with me. Andy's tells me that my money is their own. And the joy I feel. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. Grace comes teaching us some things. You know why? Because we don't have it all together. You don't go to the doctor of ice cream when you got a heart problem. You go to somebody that has specialized and studied and stuff for that. I'm so amazed at people that want to know how to be saved, but that yet they listen to Aunt Lucinda, who's as worldly as they come. They think they got it all figured out until they talk to Uncle Herkimer. And he starts, well, you know, you don't have to do all this. Uncle Herkimer probably hadn't even read the Bible once. God said, I'm not sending Uncle Herkimer and Aunt Lucinda. I'm sending a pastor that's going to help you and to teach you. The book of Amos, he goes on and he says, he said that his people would perish for lack of knowledge, but he goes on, he said that there would be, that was in Proverbs, but in Amos he said there's going to be a famine in the land, and it's going to be a famine of hearing. They're not going to hear. You know the scary part about that, if you continue to read on there, it's not because they're going, I don't hear you. No. The reason is because they walk to and fro throughout the land, and they can't find anybody that would speak. They couldn't find a prophet. God said, look, if you ain't going to listen to them, I'll just take them out of your life. Now, he said, there's a famine of hearing the word of God. And it's not because there wasn't a preacher, amen, that was preaching, amen. But at this point in time, God said, I sent them to you. You didn't want to listen, so I'm going to take them out. Now you're just not going to be able to hear anything. But thank God that's not what grace has done. Grace teaches us some things because we don't have it all together. This is not your pastor just up in the air harping about something. Amen. This is grace trying to help us. Why? Because the grace of God that leads us unto salvation. The Bible said that when the Spirit of truth has come, that it leads us into all truth. Friend, truth isn't just stopping at the altar of repentance. Truth leads you on unto the waters of baptism. But truth doesn't stop just at the waters of baptism. Truth brings you to the fullness of the gospel of Christ. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, truth doesn't stop there. Truth wants to lead you into all truth. That means there's more truth. More truth. You may have repented of your sins. You may have been baptized in Jesus' name. You may have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but your experience and your life does not stop there. Amen. Because this is not where we're going. We're going to heaven, and truth is going to lead us all the way and through the gates of heaven. Why? Because I don't know it all. And so truth, amen, leads us from the altar and begins to talk to us about separation from the world. Truth begins to talk to us about holiness. What is truth? It's the grace of God being extended, the hand of God being extended unto us, because I don't know everything. I've got a mentality that I think that I do. I got a mentality that I think that I know what is best. My mentality says it doesn't matter now. It just mattered back then. But the word of God says, show me book, chapter, and verse where it just matters then, and it doesn't matter now. Amen. And I can't find it. And so I get the preacher to talk to me, and the preacher says, it's not there. What God requires of Peter, he requires of me. What God required of Paul, he requires of me. What God required of Timothy and Titus, he requires of me. God is not changing. And so the grace of God teaches us. The grace of God is talking to us. The grace of God is telling us some things. What is it telling us? Amen. The grace of God says, you need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. I'm way over right now. I've surpassed all of my notes and stuff. Amen. So we're not going to elaborate on all of this. But you need to understand that if you really want to be saved, there's some things that you've got to do. And there's some things that you can't do. You got to deny ungodliness. If it's ungodly, you need to abstain from it. If it's ungodly, you need to separate yourself from it. If it's ungodly, you need to come away from it. You need to deny. I'm not going there. Not doing that. Not saying that. I am going to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. The love of the Father is not there. You got to deny ungodliness, and you got to deny worldly lust. Well, it makes me feel good. Amen. Makes me do the no. Grace says if you really want to be saved, you need to get beyond your feelings. You need to get beyond your opinions, and you need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's what grace is saying. Grace is saying, I didn't ask you how it made you feel. I'm telling you, if you want to be saved. If you don't want to be saved, you're not going to do these things. If you don't want to be saved, you're going to say, well, I know what the preacher said, but I'm still going to do my own thing. You know what you're telling me? I really don't want to be saved. Grace comes in and points it out, book, chapter, and verse. Bam, bam, bam. Right here. That's what grace says. Grace says, look, if you really want to be saved, don't speak to any man what our business is. Put a scarlet robe, a scarlet thread in the window, and stay in the house. Grace teaches you to live soberly. That doesn't only mean, amen, out from under the influence of alcohol, but that means a sober mind. You don't need to let your mind just run all over the place, run rampant. Well, glory to God. I could preach another hour about all these conspiracy theories. People are drunken with conspiracy theories. Let me just tell it to you like this. It doesn't matter. If all of your conspiracy theorists, and all, if they prove it, it doesn't matter. Whether you believe it or not, ain't going to stop it from happening. You say, well, I'm going to hoard up all of this food that I can feed myself for 5 years. Why? You know what my mentality is? If they're going to nuke the world, I want them to hit Wichita. As a matter of fact, how about 1156 Ohio, Augusta, Kansas, 67010? I want to be the first one out of this world. I don't want to be seeing how long I can last. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Hello, heaven, here I come. Scoot over, Peter. If God can't help me, how do I think that me doing all these things is going to help me? Praise God. Well, ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. We need to live righteously. Come on, that's what grace says. Grace says you need to live righteously. Not self-righteous, but God-righteous. Righteously and godly. You need to live godly. You don't need to come to church on Sunday and act like you're, and then on Monday when you go to school or go to work and stuff. No. I didn't say don't go to work. Go to work and act like. A Democrat? I'm sorry. Little girl come running up to her mama. She is bawling and squalling. Her mama said, My Lord, baby, what's wrong? What happened to you? She said, Daddy, call me a Democrat. Well, glory. But that's what grace does. Grace teaches you some things. And if you want to be saved, you're going to listen to what grace said. Now, going back to the text and we're done. I come down here. That way I can't be convicted by the clock up there. Rahab said, I want to be saved. I really want to be saved. Spy looked at her and said, look, if you really want to be saved, then this is what you will do. James said it like this. Faith without works is dead. I don't care how much you believe you're going to be saved. If you don't have works established with it, well done, thou good and faithful service. If you don't have works, you're not saved by works alone. I preach a whole nother message right there. Just because you come, sit on a pew, doesn't mean you're saved. You go straight to hell sitting on a church pew, living like a hypocrite. Once saved, always saved is the most damnable doctrine that's been introduced unto mankind. Faith without works is dead. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you want to be saved, you're going to do this. You're not going to utter a word of what we say. And you're going to put this scarlet thread in the window. I thank God for the blood. The blood that still covers. That blood that is applied to us. Blood was applied 3 different times upon the priest. The ear, the thumb, and the big toe. I believe that the blood, part of the blood is applied through all. But when we go down in the name of Jesus, that blood washes away every sin. I thank God for the blood. You're not going to be saved without blood in your life. The Bible talks to us in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You cannot have your sins forgiven without blood. There's got to be blood. Thank God that the blood of Jesus is still sufficient, efficient, and strong enough to take care of everything. But then he said it like this. He said, and if you're going to be saved, you're going to stay in the house. You got to stay in the house. Rahab could have felt the urge and the unction to leave the house and go knock on all of her family's door and her friend's door and say, come, come, come. You need to get in the house. You need to get in the house. And I don't know. Maybe she did. Maybe she didn't. But grace had said, if you're going to be saved, you're going to stay in the house. You need to purpose with everything that is within you. I've got to remain in the house. House, what house? The house of God. I got to get in the house of God. I got to become men and brethren. What must we do? Peter said, this is what grace would tell you to do. Noah's sitting there saying, grace says, build an ark. Build it with one door. I think 3 would be better. One. Build it with one window. I mean, if we put several in there, science teaches us we'll be able to alleviate some of the smell, get some movement of air in there. One. build it 3 stories high. Whoa! I mean, when's the last time you picked up a log 30-something, 40-something foot up in the air? How about we just go bigger or wider? 3 stories. Pitch it within and without. What if the sun's shining? Maybe we pitch it twice on the inside and be sufficient. Within and without. That's what grace said. Look, if you want this thing to float, if you want to live, this is how you're going to do it. Rahab, as we stand here this morning, give me a token. Give me a true token. All right. All right. Don't utter a word of our business. Put the scarlet line in the window. And if you really want to be saved, stay in the house. And then he put that exception, just like every contract has. If you don't do this, all promises are off. If you start talking, all promises are off. No scarlet line, promises are off. You're not in your house, no promises made. Responsibility to be saved is upon the individual. Grace does its part. Grace says, I'll do everything that I can to save you, because it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's works. Deliver me from death. That's what she told the spies. She said, deliver me. Deliver me from death. Deliver our lives from death. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Say, well, if it's a gift, I don't have to do anything. That's not complete. That's not right. And our mindset, if your mindset is like that, it's twisted. It's not biblically straight. Nicodemus came unto Jesus, and Jesus said, let me just tell you, Nicodemus, except a man is born again of water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus is like, dude, what? How can I be born again of a second time? Jesus said, except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I say that you must be born again. So the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof. He said, it's the same way that the Spirit is going to come unto you. You've got to be born again. Again. That's what grace says. It's the Spirit of truth bringing it unto you. If you really want to be saved, then you'll do what grace requires. There's no greater desire that God has for mankind today than to save every one of them. But regardless of all of that, man is still going to stand stiff-necked and rebellious. I'm going to do it my way. Well, I don't think that that way is right. The ultimate responsibility of saving you does not lay on God's shoulders, but yours. Yours. You've got to do. Lord said, I'll give you a token. I'll give you a true token. It'll be undeniable. Every man is going to speak with new tongues as the Spirit give the utterance. He said, everybody's going to know it. I'll give you a true token. But this is what you're going to do. Here's where it starts. You must repent of all of your sins. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's what grace says. Grace says going to do that, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's being born again of the Spirit. That's the way it happens. If you really want to be saved, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. But if a person really doesn't want to be saved, then they'll just go their own way. Go abide in somebody else's house. Well, I don't think it's that important. It's not my word. It's just my responsibility. It's God's word. Amen. Praise God. These altars are open here this morning. I want to do everything that God would have me to do. I want the Spirit of truth to lead me into all truth. God, if there's anything more that I need to do, I want to know about it. If there's anything more that you would have me to do, I want to start doing it. I don't want to come up short. Oh no, I can't afford that. I can't afford it. You can't afford it. You cannot afford to stand at heaven's gate and argue with God. God, I didn't think it was that important. I thought the Lord's going to say it doesn't really matter what everybody else thought. It just matters what the Word said. I don't want to be caught on Judgment Day trying to argue my way into heaven. I just want to do what grace tells me to do. I'm going to do what grace tells me to do. Grace says build an ark, I'm building an ark. Grace says don't utter a word, I'm not uttering a word. Grace says make sure that the scarlet rope is hung out the window. I'm telling you, I'm going to be fervent in that. I'm going to make sure that that scarlet robe, that rope, is hanging out the window. Grace says stay in the house until the day that we come. I'm not asking, well, why don't you tell me when it's going to come? Why don't you give me, you know, a date and a time? I mean, I've got things that I want to do. No, I promise you right now, I'm staying in the house. I'm staying in the house. I'm going to do everything that grace tells me to do. Throughout all of the Old Testament, you would see minor and major prophets. That was nothing more than the grace of God being extended unto people. As the prophets would go forth unto the people of God and would say, repent. That was grace telling them what to do. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Grace is going to tell you what to do. And they would preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Grace had been extended. Whether they repented or not was up to them. Jonah became an extension of the grace of God as he went down to Nineveh, a Gentile world. And he began to preach unto them, repent. Grace was speaking. Repent or perish. In 40 days, God's going to wipe out the city. They acted upon what grace was given unto them. And the king commanded that everybody would begin to fast. And they put on sackcloth and spread ashes upon them. And God spared the city because they did what God told them to do.